Today, we follow the lives of two brothers, Cain and Abel, and see a stark contrast in their worship of God. Cain chose his own way, presenting the work of his hands. Abel followed God's way, offering a blood sacrifice as prescribed. This episode explores why Cain's offering fell short and how envy led to tragedy. Cain's response to rejection serves as a warning about pride and the danger of ignoring God's commands.
We arrive today in our wisdom journey at Genesis chapter 4, where the descendants of Adam and Eve are beginning to make their way onto the pages of human history. And I got to tell you, it's not a pretty sight at all. Genesis 4 opens well enough in the delivery room. Verse 1 reads, "Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.'" It isn't long before Eve is back in the delivery room, verse 2, "and again she bore his brother Abel." Now, verse 2 goes on to tell us that these two boys grew up and chose different occupations. Cain became a farmer, Abel became a rancher. By the way, both of these are wonderful occupations. In fact, none of us would survive if it weren't for all you ranchers and farmers out there, so thank you. But keep in mind, these boys grew up outside the Garden of Eden. They are fully aware of their parents' history. They're fully aware of God's system of the atoning sacrificial system. And we know that because verse 3 tells us here, "In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of produce, and Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock, that is, of sheep." Now, the phrase here, "it came about in the course of time," literally means at the end of days. This refers to the end of the year. You see, this sacrifice was an annual event. God had taught them the way to approach him through the animal sacrifice of atonement. Now, we're not given Cain and Abel's homeschool curriculum, but Cain and Abel didn't come up with this idea on their own. Piling stones on top of each other, killing an innocent animal, burning it on the altar, these were God's ideas. This was God's plan. This annual sacrifice was mankind's statement of faith in God's plan of redemption through an animal sacrifice. So this is their statement of faith in that coming promised Redeemer who would forever cover sin. So here comes Cain and Abel, no doubt along with their parents Adam and Eve, showing up to make this annual sacrifice at the end of days. We're not told, but I believe this altar had been set up decades earlier on the eastern side of the Garden of Eden, right there in the presence of those cherubim who were still standing there with their flaming swords, reminding them of their sin, their exile, and their need for atonement. But this year, something different happened. When the family arrives, Cain does something terribly and defiantly wrong. He offers a non-bloody sacrifice of fruit and vegetables from his own labor on the farm. Abel continued to offer a lamb as God had prescribed, the death of an innocent sacrifice, dying for the guilty sinner, a picture of Christ. And God doesn't waste any time responding. Here in verse 4 we read, "And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell." Now, most people believe Cain wasn't treated fairly by God. I mean, how unlucky was he to go into farming while his brother got into livestock? And when you know it, God preferred animal offerings over vegetables. But that isn't the issue here. If you study the events found in the first 5 chapters of Genesis regarding the age of Adam and his sons, you'll discover that Cain is actually around 120 years old when this event occurred. Now, before the flood, our forefathers lived in these early years of a pristine, newly created earth for hundreds of years. In fact, Genesis 5, verse 5 tells us Adam lived 930 years. That's a lot of candles on your birthday cake. So Cain and Abel are relatively young men, comparatively, even though they are now in their early 100s. And I point that out because Cain and Abel have been offering this animal sacrifice 100 times already. But this time, Cain says to himself, you know, I've done this 100 times for 100 years, and I'm getting tired of having to get an animal from my brother's ranch. My work is as significant to God. I mean, I'm working just as hard. So this year, I'm going to do it my way. And let me tell you, the serpent hadn't gone on vacation for the past 100 years. He's going to use the same strategy that he used on Cain's mother, Eve. Did God really say that? I mean, does he really demand this of you? Now, come on, this is right for you. You've done it 100 times God's way. It's time to do it at least once your way. God will appreciate the fact that you came this year to sacrifice from the hard work of your hands. God isn't that close-minded. Moses writes here in verse 5, the Lord had no regard for Cain and his offering. God regarded Abel's sacrifice. In fact, you go over to Hebrews 11, and it repeats this event, and it writes it this way. God was commending Abel by accepting his gifts. You could translate that, God testified over his sacrifice. In other words, God did something annually to demonstrate his acceptance of these offerings. Now, we're not told specifically how God testified his acceptance, but other passages fill in the blank. Think about this. Throughout the Old Testament, God demonstrated visibly his acceptance of the sacrifice and the worshiper with fire from heaven. When God accepted Aaron's sacrifice in Leviticus 9, what did he do? He sent fire from heaven and consumed upon the altar that burnt offering. God accepted Gideon's sacrifice in Judges chapter 6 by sending fire down to consume it. When Elijah and the priests of Baal put their faith on trial, you remember the false god Baal didn't respond? But God did. He testified to his servant Elijah by sending fire from heaven to consume that offering, 1 Kings 18. When King David offered a sacrifice to God in 1 Chronicles 21, God answered him by doing what? Sending fire from heaven upon that altar. When Solomon later dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 7, the Bible says that fire came down from heaven and consumed every sacrifice. Fire from heaven was God's testimony of accepting the offering. So we have every reason to believe, year after year, as Adam and Eve came to the edge of the garden along with their sons, Cain and Abel, and gave that annual offering on the altar, the Lord testified his approval. How? By sending fire from heaven, consuming their offerings. This year, however, Cain's offering remained untouched. No fire fell. This is total humiliation. This is public embarrassment. And that old serpent probably whispered in Cain's heart, yeah, God is playing favorites. You're just as good as your brother Abel. And with that, the envy in Cain's heart began to burn to the point that before that year was out, Cain murdered his younger brother Abel. Abel became the first follower of God to be martyred for his faith. Beloved, to this day, the world can be divided like these two brothers between those who follow their own way and those who follow God's way. In fact, over in the New Testament letter of Jude, false religion is categorically referred to as the way of Cain. I'm going to come to God my own way. I'm going to avoid all this talk about my sin and my guilt and the need for a Savior. I'm going to bring to God what I've done with my own hands. I'm coming my way. The problem is, my friend, you can't get to God your way. In fact, the door to God's house is locked, and there's only one key that'll open it, and that key is in the shape of a cross. The cross of Christ. He became the final sacrifice for sin. In fact, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets into the Father's house except through me." John 14, verse 6. When you place your faith in Christ alone, the doorway of forgiveness, that doorway into heaven, is unlocked and opened, and you're able to enter into a personal relationship with God through Christ as a forgiven child of God on your way to heaven forever. Well, until our next journey in God's inspired word of wisdom, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's message is called A Tale of Two Brothers. We'd love to hear from you. Has our teaching ministry helped you in your spiritual journey? Do you have a story or testimony to share how these daily lessons are helping you walk wisely? Your experiences encourage us, and we'd love to know how God is using this ministry in your life. We're also here to assist you if you have a comment, a question, or need more information. Whatever you need, there are several ways you can reach out to us. Our email address is info@wisdomonline.org. You can also call us at 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-482-4253. We're happy to take your call and assist you with anything you need. If you prefer to write to us, our mailing address is Wisdom International, P.O. Box 37297, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27627. Whether it's a story of how this ministry has blessed you, a question you need answered, or just a comment, we're here to help and listen. Before we leave you today, I want to make sure you're aware that Stephen has a second daily program called Wisdom for the Heart. That program is based on his preaching ministry and features full-length sermons. If you're enjoying this wisdom journey, you'll enjoy that program as well. Join us next time.